What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero, because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Thursday, December 6th, 2018. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. We have got a lot to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phone, put you on the air with your comments, questions, and opinions. So let's just get right on into it. First of all, the corporate media still going on about George Herbert Walker Bush. We're getting sky camera coverage of this train trip. And I know that's kind of been a traditional thing where, you know, the president, his remains are sent by train and people can stand by the side of the track and wave flags and watch the box go by. But it is getting a little bit much, I think. Other people are beginning to say the same thing. Over at Patriot Rising, they're saying this lionizing him in the media for days and having the pilgrims file past his coffin, these are not Republican traditions. And the founding fathers of this nation probably would have been pretty much appalled by this gratuitous celebration bordering on worship of any of them. So it really is time enough. And before we get into the rest of the news, I want to share kind of a personal event, if you will. A little while ago, we ran this story on how suicide here in the United States is at a 50-year high. In fact, there's so much suicide, it's actually negatively impacting U.S. life expectancy. Between that and drug overdoses, life expectancy in the U.S. Is down. So the reason I brought that up is this morning at about 3 o'clock, there was this horrendous crash right out in front of where Claire and I live. So, you know, I got dressed, got a flashlight, went on out to see what was going on along with a bunch of our neighbors. And there was this truck that had slammed into a tree. And when the crash had happened, I literally felt our building shake. That's how big the impact was. The truck was completely totaled. And the driver had run off. And I don't claim to be a detective or an accident investigator, but the things I noticed almost immediately was the fact that the truck had been traveling fast enough to total it, not to mention shake the entire complex when it hit that tree. It had hit the tree dead spot on, right in front of the driver's seat. And looking behind the truck, there were no brake marks. And I think this was not an accident. I think this was an attempted suicide, which failed because of the airbags. Or maybe the person later passed on from internal injuries, because that was a heck of a wallop. And there were a lot of personal belongings in the truck, which makes it look like this might have been a homeless person living out of their truck. They were wearing fuzzy slippers, bedroom slippers. And I know that because they lost one when they were running away. And so it looked to me like it was an attempted suicide. And it's one thing to read about American suicides in an article online, on a blog or something. And it's a different experience to walk on out and see it right in front of your eyes. And it makes you really kind of wonder what our society has become, where there was so much pressure on American citizens that they are resorting to suicide in more higher and higher numbers all the time. So I didn't get a lot of sleep after that. And it's kind of a disturbing thing to see. Probably would have been worse if the body had been there. But as I said, they'd run off, and I didn't stick around to find out what happened after that here. All right, so let's start talking about the conflict zones, because there's a lot going on, and yes, we'll get into the economy as well. It was a very tumultuous day on the stock markets here. Article coming on out from Middle East Eye, basically laying out that the reason the United States refuses to yield to the inevitable and leave Syria is that the U.S. is still planning for perpetual war in the Middle East, and they see Syria as their launching pad. It's got a good strategic location. It borders the Mediterranean. It borders many of these other nations. It would be a good platform for engaging in more war against more Middle Eastern nations, and that's why the United States is trying to figure out some way they can stay in there. Meanwhile, government forces in Syria have eliminated over 23,000 militants since the start of this year, and they've liberated 387 settlements. That's a lot of really good work. 40,000 members of the moderate opposition have surrendered and joined the government forces, and these fighters reportedly surrendered 650 units of weapons and military equipment to the Syrian Arab Army. This is all really good news. Now, the chief of the general staff also praised the role of the Russian Center for Reconciliation of the Warring Party, which is carrying out humanitarian operations around the country. According to General Gerasimov, over 230,000 people were evacuated via humanitarian corridors during these operations. He also said the situation in the U.S.-controlled zone in northeastern Syria, saying the situation there is getting worse. It's deteriorating. All right, we're going to do a shout-out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. And apparently the Syrian Arab Army has evacuated hundreds of civilians, mostly women and children, from the ISIS-held pocket in the middle Euphrates River Valley. And this was in coordination with Russian forces. They've been giving food, medical care, and they're being transported back to the their villages and towns. So it's good news. And again, whatever the United States overtly wanted to accomplish in Syria, they failed. Just like in Iraq, when they went into Iraq, we were told it was about weapons of mass destruction, which turned out not to exist. It was about Iraq's support for 9/11, which even George W. Bush admits there wasn't any. And of course, to just fight terrorist extremists, Muslim extremists, forgetting, of course, that Iraq was a secular nation under Saddam Hussein. So the overt reasons for the war all failed. We know that there are covert reasons that are really what's driving it. But overtly, the Iraq war was a failure for the U.S. Government here. And we're seeing the same thing repeated here in Syria. Now, as you know, the propaganda machine is just on rock and roll, warp drive, full tilt boogie about Russia's coming, Russia's coming, Russia's going to invade this, Russia's going to invade that. They're naming every country they can think of, Norway, Ukraine, Baltic, Poland, countries even further west. And, of course, the media is out there saying that NATO and the United States are there to prevent that. See how important it is for NATO and the U.S. to be on your territory to protect you from those evil Russians here. But, you know, what I've been saying about look for what should be there and isn't. And the same thing applies here to Russia. Okay? Why would they want to invade the Ukraine, the Baltic states, or anywhere else? Now, the entire propaganda campaign against Russia rests on that claim that Russia annexed Crimea and sent military forces into the Donbass. Now, everybody's been paying attention now realizes both of those claims were total nonsense. The party who broke the post-Cold War international order and borders were the NATO member states when they used military force to break up Yugoslavia. And of course, we know as far as Crimea is concerned, they voted about their future in a referendum. They voted to secede from Ukraine, and then they voted to join the Russian republics. Contrast that with the situation of Kosovo, where they had absolutely no choice at all with what happened to them. As for the August 8th, 2008 war, it's now realized basically it was Saakashvili who started that, not Russia. Now, the West is still trying to make a big deal about the incident in the Kerch Strait, and now the European Union is trying to step on in and involve themselves as well by demanding that there has to be European Union mediation to solve these incidents here. Harumph, harumph, harumph. So everybody is trying to take advantage of the situation. But again, the official story is not reality, and yet policy is being forced on that, or based on that official story. Trump, at the last minute, canceled his meeting with President Putin at the G20, supposedly because of this Russia-Ukraine dispute. And according to Trump, the meeting had to be canceled because the Russians seized three Ukrainian naval vessels in Russian waters that refused to follow instructions from the Russian military. That is an accurate assessment of what happened. Pat Buchanan wrote in a recent column, how is this little kerfuffle thousands of miles away any of our business? It really isn't. It's just another excuse to demonize Russia and propagandize Russia. Now, up in London, the Russian embassy has issued a memo, if you will, pointing out the fact that the British government continues to ignore the fact that these Ukrainian warships in the Kerch Strait were acting illegally, and it was a Ukrainian provocation. Kiev illegally crossed the borders of Russian territorial waters, and it was a blatant and deliberate violation. They conducted dangerous maneuvers in the strait. They refused to respond to radio communications. They refused to respond when Russian patrol boats came on out and ordered them to stop. This was all Ukraine here. But everybody's going to get on board, and they're just going to pound on it as hard as they can. And here we start to see yet another real agenda behind the story. Apparently, according to a senior State Department official, the Kerch incident should remind the European Union why the Nord Stream 2 oil pipeline is a bad idea. Because the less infrastructure you have, the less gas infrastructure you have bypassing Ukraine, the weaker the deterrent. In other words, the Nord Stream 2 would allow Russia and to basically evade oil sanctions. The U.S. wants Russia dependent on oil pipelines under the control of the West. And Russia doesn't want to do that anymore. Now, interestingly enough, speaking of the Donbass, apparently a detachment of soldiers wearing NATO uniforms were seen by the People's Militia of the self-proclaimed People's Republic of Lugansk in Donbass territory currently controlled by Kiev. And they basically said there were 28 men equipped with NATO uniforms. So NATO is already in Ukraine. They're out there screaming, Russia's in Ukraine, Russia's in Ukraine. No, NATO is in Ukraine. Meanwhile, trending to amp up the tensions even more, the U.S. military has carried out what is called an open skies flight over Ukraine. And it was done to reaffirm the U.S. commitment to Ukraine. And basically, there's an open skies treaty that says one country can fly over the other. There's no restriction. And apparently, the aircraft used was a surveillance aircraft. But it's basically sending a message. We stand with Ukraine. And in a statement, the Pentagon basically said it was because of Russia's unprovoked attack on Ukrainian naval vessels in the Black Sea. If at first you don't succeed, lie, lie again. Now, over in the parliament of Ukraine, the Verkhovna Rada, they have now upheld President Poroshenko's decision to terminate the Treaty on Friendship, Cooperation, and Partnership with Russia. And apparently, it passed overwhelmingly, and the treaty will be terminated officially on April 1st, 2019. It's a largely symbolic gesture at this point, obviously. Okay, turning on now down to Israel. Israel started to talk about Operation Northern Shield, It's a military and also apparently an engineering operation aimed at destroying what it alleges are offensive tunnels belonging to the Lebanese resistance group Hezbollah on the border with Lebanon. And the operation represents Israel's approach to war, which they call the war between wars, fighting smaller battles with limited goals, avoiding all direct confrontation, almost like guerrilla war. So now here's where it gets interesting. Former Israeli Defense Minister Moshe Yaalon admitted on Thursday that Israeli officials have for years lied about the existence of these alleged Hezbollah tunnels beneath the Lebanon-Israel border. And in an interview on Israel's Army Radio, Yaalon said the Israeli officials lied about the tunnels before they decided to carry out an operation to destroy them early this week. And Yaalon said, "We did it to mislead the other side. There is an exaggeration in the way it was presented, and I hope it does not hurt us." But he came on out and said, back in 2016, there was no single tunnel in the north. Anyway, he believes that there's an exaggeration in the ongoing operation. All right, over at the United Nations, the United States is trying to pressure the Arab states to support its anti-Hamas resolution. And basically, they're trying to get them to vote in favor of this draft resolution that has been introduced at the United Nations that condemns the Palestinian resistance. Apparently the U.S. Special Representative for International Negotiations, Jason Greenblatt, sent letters to diplomats from 9 Arab countries asking them to support this move. And the 9 countries were Morocco, Oman, Bahrain, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, the United Arab Emirates, Egypt, and Qatar. And in the letter, he said the Palestinian Authority's opposition to the U.S. proposal is hypocrisy, as it considers Hamas an enemy and imposes sanctions on it in Gaza. Now, the Palestinian Authority and Fatah have criticized the U.S. draft resolution, considering it absolute American support for the continuance of the Israeli occupation of Palestine. Meanwhile, over in the West Bank, the Palestinian Energy and Natural Resources Authority is rejecting Israeli threats against renewable energy projects that are being built by the Palestinians in the occupied West Bank. And apparently the last Israeli threat was made against private renewable energy projects connected to the local Palestinian grid. Now, the authority says it's complying with Israel's rules. It gives licenses to these projects in areas A and B of the occupied West Bank, where the Palestinian Authority has full administrative sovereignty. But basically, the Israeli occupation has been continuously seeking to undermine all projects which might help the Palestinian economy become independent. Israel wants Palestine dependent on Israel's provided electricity, or oil, or gas, because dependency is slavery. So, Benjamin Netanyahu's legal problems keep mounting up. Apparently, Israeli TV is saying that Netanyahu asked Bezeq owner Shaul Elovich to basically run a negative article on a political rival's wife. And basically, it was an article on the employment of Naftali Bennett's spouse at a non-kosher restaurant, which would be seen as a very, very serious scandal in Israel here. As we mentioned yesterday, 2 U.S. Marine aircraft crashed off the Japanese coast yesterday. One was an F-18. The other was a refueling aircraft. 7 crew went down. 2 have been found so far. 1 is in stable condition. The condition of the other is not known. We're going to take a break here for some commercials. We'll be right back.
First. First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Attention RBN listeners, Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Front Sight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over Front Sight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come at an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
When all this twist is steel was swept away, did these remaining what's really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're going to go to the phones now to Jim in New York. Aloha, Jim. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi, Mike. I'm just was watching the Bush funeral. And, you know, Americans, we have short memories. Everything is Obama and Clinton. They forget what a monster George Bush, particularly George Bush Jr., W. If they could remember the war crimes, I mean, Fallujah war crime, Abu Ghraib, you know, sodomizing children in front of their parents. And I find a lot of the, quote, all right sites, you know, people talk about Trump derangement syndrome. A lot of them have Obama and Hillary derangement syndrome, and yet they gloss over what a monster W. Bush particularly was. Of course, he was just a puppet too, but was under, if the buck stops with the president, the Bush administration is the greatest murderers of the 21st century, if you go by death count. And I think a lot of the quote, alt-right should remind themselves, forget about latest puppet, Obama, Hillary. You said it many times. It's a systemic problem. And, oh, my God, when I think back, you know, and I forget, too, what a monster the Bush administration was and how people forget it. Oh, my God.
Well, again, you look back at all that history, the Bay of Pigs, the possible link to the JFK assassination, Iran-Contra. There's a lot of darkness there. And to be very honest, I think the elder Bush was definitely much, much worse than Bush Jr.
Well, I think Bush Jr., I don't think he was running things, but it was under his administration.
I'm sure that Daddy, you know, Daddy was pulling the little ring behind George W. Bush's mouth.
And Cheney and Rumsfeld and greater minds, but it was under the Junior Bush, the greatest mass murderer of the 21st century so far.
Yes.
But that's all I wanted to say, and I'd like to remind the people who hate Obama and Hillary, and I don't like them either, just remember W. Bush and what he did. And that's all I want to say. And thank you very much, Michael.
All right. Thanks an awful lot here. And we will let you go. The phone lines are open again. All right. Let's talk about what's going on over in France, because the situation does not look like it's going to de-escalate. In fact, it's getting more intense. The French police union is now calling on the police to join the Yellow Vests protests. So this is no longer a case of the protesters over here and the French government over here. You now have different segments of the government joining up on different sides here. And there's going to be another major protest over this weekend. And Elysee is actually concerned there could be an actual coup d'etat attempt or a revolution. And the protesters are out there. Basically, they're already expanding what they want. This is not going to stop with the end of that carbon tax. Now they're talking about they want an increase in the minimum wage. And at the risk of being arrested under French law, they're starting to talk about closing those open borders and getting rid of some of these migrants who have become such a problem, who've soiled their beautiful city. So it's getting very, very intense there. Anyway, France has now completely abandoned that fuel tax, which was essentially a carbon tax. At first, they said they were going to delay it for 6 months. Now they've said it's gone. You know, it's definitely gone. So Macron has failed on that one. And here is where it gets to be a problem, because this plan for a new world order rested on three pillars. One was human-caused global warming, and it just collapsed. So they were going to use ClimateGate to scare us all into accepting a global environmental authority and the carbon tax to exert more control over us. That just fell apart. The Paris Accord, for all intents and purposes, just got shredded. So Macron is now a victim of the climate change, global warming agenda. What? Oh, we got to take another break for commercials. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
To What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And for our new listeners who have not been with us for a while, those holiday music bumps are the creation of my lovely wife, Claire Rivero. And they're from her album, Christmas Without Borders, which she put out a few years ago and which is available on iTunes. Plug, 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 plug. All right, getting on back to France here. So we're seeing this intense anger boiling up in the French people with these the Yellow Vest protests. Where does Yellow Vest come from? Well, it turns out in France, all drivers are required to own one of those yellow reflective vests, which actually is a pretty good idea to have one of those if your car breaks down in the middle of the night. So everybody already had them, and they put it on as sort of their uniform for the protests here. And what the French people want is they want a lower cost of living, cheaper energy. They basically want to have a better standard of living. And they're mostly fed up with this global warming elitism because more and more people around the world are realizing it was all a gigantic scam. And it's one thing when Al Gore is scamming the United States or something like that. But when your own government is playing that same game, oh, global warming, we got to take more money from you. It does reach a breaking point. And that is basically what's happened. And these are the most violent protests France has seen since the 1960s. And here's where it's getting interesting, because the French Parliament's left parties, at least three of the left-wing parties in the French Parliament, have agreed to discuss the possibility of a vote of no confidence against the government. And among those planning to question Macron's leadership is La France Insoumise Party, whose leader Jean-Luc Mélenchon has long been a vocal critic of the current government. So we could see a change of government there in France. Hopefully a peaceful transition. But right now, the Macron disapproval rate has hit an all-time record high of 76%. Now, of course, the globalists are desperate to keep Macron in power against the will of the people, because he's been pushing that globalist agenda. Climate change, open borders, free migration. People have hit a breaking point here. And I wish the French people well. Vive la liberté. Okay. There appears to have been what may be another piece of gratuitous propaganda. This came out of NPR, where they're claiming North Korea is expanding a missile base in a remote mountainous part of the country, according to commercial satellite imagery studied by independent researchers. And researchers say they see clear signs the base is being upgraded. Well, I'm not sure, at least based on the image that was attached to this article, because it's your classic, we're going to put one over you. It's a wide area image. This time, at least it's in color. It's not particularly sharp. And there's all these little blobby shapes in there with circles and a little arrow and a label saying, you know, this is a hardened bunker and this is... They did the same thing to us in Iraq. Colin Powell, when he was at the United Nations, he held up this blurry photo of these white blobs against a dark background and said, you know, this is a chemical weapons decontamination vehicle. And this is, and when they finally got to that area in Iraq, it turned out it was just ordinary, everyday firefighting equipment. Remember when they tried to tell us these balloon inflators were mobile biological weapons laboratories? Truth truly is the first casualty of war. Okay, apparently the United States has sailed a little too close to a Russian base bordering on the Sea of Japan. And the Russian military is now keeping what they say is a close watch on the U.S. destroyer, the McCampbell. Apparently, early today, or last night, across the other the side of the dateline, approached a Russian military base in the Primorye region. Now, currently, the destroyer is 400 kilometers away from the Russian shore. So, again, it's another provocation. And to ordinary people, I say big deal about it. But if you go back and you study Arthur H. McCollum's 8-step plan to provoke Japan into attacking us, and we'll be talking about that tomorrow because tomorrow's Pearl Harbor Day. One of the things the U.S. kept doing was sailing their warships right off the coast of Japan, which to Japanese sensibilities was a tremendous insult. The attitude back then was, you've got your side of the Pacific and we've got our side. What are you doing over here? All right, let's talk a little bit about some of our domestic politics here. There's an article that came out of the original antiwar.com saying it's time for Trump to completely declassify all the documents in this Russiagate hoax because it has gone on way too long. It's gone on way too long. And it is clearly a witch hunt and an attempt to manufacture a crime that doesn't exist. In fact, this article quotes Stalin's Secret Service chief, Lavrenta Beria, who once boasted, show me the man, I'll show you the crime. So, another article, and I agree with this one, also from the original antiwar.com. Trump's timidity is letting Comey off the hook. And Trump has apparently basically not helped the House Republicans trying to get this situation with Comey resolved. Now, they went back and forth. There was a request for Comey to testify. He turned him down. Then there was a subpoena. He briefly went to court to try and get that quashed. I think lawyers told him that was not going to happen. So they went back and forth. And now finally, Comey will testify behind closed doors. And then after that, there will be a transcript likely to be heavily redacted that will be released. This lets Comey pretend that he wanted a public testimony because he's got nothing to hide. So it's all politics here right now. And apparently that closed door meeting will happen tomorrow, Pearl Harbor Day. We'll see what comes out of that. Tucker Carlson came out with yet another one of his wonderful broadcasts, pointing out that our ruling class has clamped down on freedom of speech as never before. And he's absolutely right. And they've got the assistance of the tech giants to do it. They're trying to criminalize criticism of Israel. They're trying to criminalize criticism of the immigration policies. They're basically lining up all these favored so-called protected status groups and give them all kinds of laws saying you can't say bad things about them. They're trying as hard as they can to chip away at the First Amendment in a way where Americans would say, well, okay, I could see in this one exception that we should limit freedom of speech. But there can't be a limit on freedom of speech, because if there are limits, it's not freedom of speech, it's permitted speech. And permitted speech is something you find in every dictatorship in history. Okay, now, apparently new emails have been released by House Republicans, or actually released to House Republicans, and confirm, once again, in fact, maybe enough to basically say, yeah, this is no longer speculation. The FBI and the DOJ committed egregious abuses of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. This is from The Hill by John Solomon, and basically confirms the FBI knew the Christopher Steele dossier was total junk and still went ahead and used it in their application for the FISA warrant to spy on Trump campaign advisor Carter Page. So anyway, story that is coming out of Reason, I'm sorry, Daily Crusader. Apparently, Courthouse News Service is reporting that federal prosecutors have announced charges against four men connected to the law firm Mossack Fonseca, which has extensive ties to the Clinton Foundation. Now, there's no indictment against the Clinton Foundation, but if you remember, this went all the way back to the Panama Papers, tax evasion, tax avoidance. Now, the charges include conspiracy to defraud the United States, conspiracy to commit wire fraud, conspiracy to commit tax evasion, wire fraud, and money laundering. And this comes nearly 3 years after the leak of the Panama Papers. So somebody may decide they're going to cut a plea bargain. And that would be a good thing. Okay, let's look at this real quick here. Yes, we're in good shape here. Over at Kamala Harris' office, one of her top aides, Larry Wallace, has had to resign because apparently he got sued for harassment, and he wound up paying $400,000 in settlements while working for the Democrat at the California Department of Justice in 2017. And apparently the lawsuit involved gender harassment and forcing her into demeaning behavior. All righty. Now, this is a very interesting article. This is out of Vanity Fair, which is kind of unusual, but they're reporting on this. Apparently, Donald Trump is seriously thinking he's going to run again in 2020. And according to this article, sources in the White House are saying that Trump is thinking of replacing Mike Pence in the second term, taking him off the ticket. Try and get somebody on there that will revive the Republican base after Trump has basically alienated so many of us. Now, that is a very tricky thing to do, because if you will remember, back when John F. Kennedy was assassinated, he was assassinated in his first term. He had made the decision he was going to get rid of LBJ in the second term. And LBJ found out from one of his staffers, who was roommates with Mary Jo Kopechne, who, as you know, was a Kennedy party girl. Now, to what extent LBJ was involved in the assassination is unknown, but it certainly didn't help the situation. Now, the other day we had a phone call discussing about demographics and Americans who trust the media or do not trust the media, and whether it's the older people who are wise about what's going on or the younger. So I found this article here today. This came out of Patriot Rising. Apparently, there has been a study done that shows half of all high school students do not trust the corporate media to report accurately and fairly. And apparently, this was one of the first such study to be done. Normally, it's the adults and people with disposable income are the focus of these studies. But it basically means the corporate media is failing. So did Common Core. All right, we're going to take a phone call. Dustin in New Jersey, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Maybe that's why Nikki Haley is going to not be in the UN. Maybe he's going to use her as his vice president pick, which would be horrendous, even worse than Pence. I mean, either that or maybe Bolton will be his vice president.
Personally, I think it's a bad idea, but you may be on to something. If Trump were to get a female vice president, that would pull the feminist vote away from the Democrats.
Well, you know what? We might be at war by then. I mean, because she just keeps pushing that right wing, that nonsense crap, you know? I mean,
well, that
like
was
you were
her
saying,
job. Yeah. You know, that was her job. She was there speaking what she was told to say.
Hey, Mike, I wanted to what's your take on the CFO of Huawei? She was basically kidnapped. You're right. I mean, this is all about economics. You know, I mean,
what did she supposedly do wrong? And, well, we're still trying to find out. Apparently, she's been accused of violating the Iran sanctions. She was up in Canada, but the Canadian authorities arrested her at the request of the United States. And a lot of people are trying to blame the stock market downturn on that arrest, but I think they're just scapegoating her. But it's rather revealing that our stock markets are so fragile that just news of this arrest supposedly is enough to set off a selling wave. Now, the stock market ended close to zero. And let me see what the final number there was.
It was down about 80,
but at one point in the day, it was down 740 points, and that's got to be making people very, very nervous.
But that tells you something. If it was down that much, you know, because the day after the stock market was closed because of, you know, which that's a conspiracy by itself, closing the stock market. But they have done that before, I believe, right, close the stock market. Well, they close it for holidays, but I don't consider George Bush's, a holiday.
Well, Trump declared it to be a federal holiday. That's what happened. You know, he signed an executive order. Wednesday is going to be a federal holiday, and that will be that.
But yeah, I mean, if you look, it's a big, everybody knows it's a bubble. Like I said, when Trump ran, he said we're in a big bubble. He just came out today. Did you see that tweet or whatever he said? He goes, when I'm not going to be here, basically, it's going to implode. That's what he basically said today, right? The new statement he made. Like, it's,
yep.
I mean, it's a bubble, and then when he's in, it's not a bubble, and then when he's out, it's a bubble again. I don't understand that.
I don't either. Anyway, Dustin, thank you for the phone call. We got to take a break for commercials, and we will be right back.
Worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility. Provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. So we're talking about the economy, and the Dow opened this morning about 300 down. It dropped to 740 down at one point, at which point you could see there were these upshoves. If you look at the volatility and you look at the actual graph there, somebody somewhere was trying to shove it back up, and they didn't get it into the green. And the question is that thundering herd on the floor of the stock exchange going to believe the market has turned around again? Or do they just not care how much of other people's money get poured into the market to keep it looking good here? But I imagine right about now, a lot of people are looking at their 401ks and getting just a little bit nervous, because it could really start to unwind here. Anyway, like I said, we know that there are fundamental problems with the American economy and the stock market. But as is usually the case, when there is a downturn, they look for somebody to blame. And of course, one of the things that they're blaming this on is the China trade war. But it's not the real problem, any more than the assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand was the real cause of World War I. It's just a focal point here. But it does tell us just how fragile the market really is. Even Bloomberg is out there saying now, this is the worst time in decades to make money in the markets. And when Bloomberg is out there saying that, you know that there's an issue. People are realizing all the fraud, all the duct tape, all the king's horses can't hold it together much longer. Apparently out in San Francisco, house and condo prices are starting to head downward rather rapidly, which means we're going to have another real estate bubble crash with more underwater mortgages, more foreclosures. The system is fundamentally flawed by being based on a currency created out of thin air and loaned into circulation at interest. Story out of CNBC. Payroll growth slowed in November. The labor markets are tightening, which is rather interesting when you realize this is the time of year when the shopping malls should be hiring up for the holiday shopping rush. But apparently the job gains were all concentrated from services providing companies. Anyway, people are still looking at Deutsche Bank and what's going on over there, because Deutsche Bank is huge. It is global. What would happen if it failed? We'll talk about that when we come back from the station break. Oh, and we have a caller waiting on the line.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.